Yeah, it's like that famous image of the young woman, the old woman, the optical illusion type thing, or the rabbit, the vase. There's lots of those, and I love all of those. It's kind of playing with the right and left brain a little bit. But the whole point of this weekend, too, is to look at what you normally don't look at. It doesn't necessarily have to be this, but I'm suggesting, especially when we talk about the divine, and I'm asking you to look behind your thoughts, look behind your feelings, look behind the witness, and to look behind everything to see what that blank is, that's the divine, where everything is coming from. Look past the obvious. Now, I know a few of you had questions, so I hope you were eating some coconut, and now are set to ask those questions.
Yeah, okay.
So you're on.
I had asked this on the break, and you said to bring it up when we were back.
Yes.
You said that you didn't prepare at all for this weekend, but then we all got manuals.
And then you all got a manual.
Bound and...
Yes, bound, nice and neat. That's true. I did make a manual, obviously. Thank you for the question. I did it because the ego Joe panicked. And that's really the best way that I can describe it, is because all of this was coming from inspiration. All of this was, well, I'm going to keep saying this, the divine suggested Joe do a manifestation weekend. I resisted. It didn't go away, so I went through and sent my email, hoping nobody would show up, I guess. And you all showed up from all over the place, Australia, Mexico, all over the place. You just showed up. Here you are. So then I began to panic. It's like, well, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? And I kept thinking, okay, just trust yourself. I talked to Dr. Len about it. He was basically, don't prepare. And, of course, I couldn't quite not prepare. So you got a pseudo-manual, most of which is stuff that was already done. Like there's a transcript of the talk I gave at Unity Church in the back. And part of it, as I admit, I'm confessing that I was nervous. I was nervous about what am I going to say when I stand up here? And I want to give people something that they can write in and do. And it felt like, well, every seminar I ever go to, they have a manual. It feels like I should have a manual. Now, I'm pretty well convinced that you all would have been totally satisfied if you didn't have a manual. Especially if I had said that there's no manual, then you just would have left it at that. You know, but again, I'm totally leaving it open here. It's no wonder I'm standing in the middle of the room just letting you see everything. And telling you, I'm confessing that I was nervous. But I did this because of that. You know, the ego Joe was not totally trusted. So, any other embarrassing questions?
I was curious what Dr. Lenz has to say about going back to her mother who has, or anybody who has something that we want to heal. Having done healing work, I learned that the only thing that I really did was a channel for what they'd wanted. So I just said, already healed, perfect, I saw them in perfection, and left that choice up to them whether they wanted to heal. What does Dr. Len say about that?
Well, I would say he would be totally in agreement with that. You are in a state of let go at that point, and he's very fond of that. I wrote a question that's behind Amy and Greg here. How do you know what is ego or what is the divine? And I think that ties into what you're coming from, so let's look at that for a second. If you do feel like you're getting inspired to do something or to not do something, how do you know that's not your ego? How do you know that's not the divine? How do you know the difference?
Well, one way might be perhaps if it's purely for yourself, it might be ego-driven, where if the benefit is for others primarily or as well, then maybe that is a signal that it's divine.
Does everybody agree with that? Anybody not agree with that? Okay, yeah. I was hoping somebody didn't. I love you.
I don't agree only because I've recognized that so much of the healing work that I believed I was doing was so people would tell me thank you or perceive me as having value, and that was all very ego-driven. It's actually hard to let go of that still. But I really find that ego... it has a different feeling where I just know that it's for me. And everything else, I really feel like I'm being pushed or pulled from something that isn't within my control. And sometimes I'll say, oh, that feels like instinct or that feels like intuition. And that, to me, is the difference. It's just a sensation.
Somebody else, the difference between ego and divine?
I think it seems to come from a different place. Like... when I get ideas out of ego, it's usually out of my perception that something's wrong. Like, if I didn't like the car I had, I'd be like, this car's stupid. I want a new car. And that would be, which I think See, I don't necessarily agree with Craig, because I think you could get inspired to get a particular type of new car that the divine wants you to have that could be just for you. Like, not really for any, maybe you don't even let your spouse drive it, I don't know. But, like, it could be just for you. But I think ego stuff always tends to come out of the perception that something's wrong or I'm not happy with things the way they are, whereas inspiration or from the divine seems to just come out of complete nothingness, just out of the blue.
Yeah. Somebody else?
I was thinking in terms of consciousness or coming out of a meditative state versus walking around, that coming out of a meditative state would be probably the closest to divine connection. And the further we get away from that energy state and out there in the world doing anything that involves human interaction, it's an automatic thing to need the ego. I mean, so on some level, we need the ego when we do that sort of thing. And it could be maybe an awareness of wanting to connect with the divine, but I think it's a certain level of denial to say that we are not in ego. Because if not, we're going to walk into walls and get hit by cars.
Yeah, I've often felt that we have to have an ego to survive here. And so what I'm trying to come from is, how do we know when we feel inspired to do something or go for something or to hold a manifestation weekend or to go for the car? How do you know if it's coming from ego or from the divine?
I think the difference is when you can do something with blind faith. I was mentioning to Joe at the break that when I received the email about the manifestation weekend, I just registered. And then I was talking with my staff about it, and they were like, well, what is it? And I said, I don't know. I'm just going.
Not a lot.
But it became clear to me, I was on vacation a couple of weeks ago in St. Kitts, and I read the entire spiritual marketing book. And part of that was about getting clear on things.
Yeah.
And I concluded from that, I said, okay, now I have a better understanding of what I'm going to experience this weekend. So it's sort of blind faith, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to pass it to Nancy.
I've kind of come full circle over about 15 years of saying that ego is bad to saying ego is who we are. Uh-huh. And it's the same thing, ego and divine, because I am that I am. And if I'm not, then I wouldn't be here. So what I go from is no attachment. You know, I put out what I want, but I'm not attached to the results. And I make sure I'm in a state of balance, and that I always say for the highest good of all concerned. And then I let what happens, and I know what does manifest is divine.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think for me, I can feel whether there's a charge or not to it. If I get an idea, an inspiration, I know it's from divine because there's no judgment to it. It just is this thought. And one example on March 17th, when that email came out for the last chance to get this at 1,000 or whatever, and I wanted to do it. I had just come to the realization in my heart and my head that I was getting a divorce, and I had plans to do something else. I had debt, I had all these things. And as I was sitting having somewhat of a friendly conversation with my husband, this voice very clearly had in my head said, defer the dolphin trip, go to see Joe. Because what I had said was, I really want to do that, but... And as I'm having this conversation, talk about the witness or the seer, having this conversation with my husband and knowing I've made this decision, and that wasn't what the conversation was about, this clear voice saying, go to see Joe. And I thought, okay. So I emailed Suzanne, okay, and said, I'm in. And a property I was selling sold within 20 minutes on money. Talk about speed, taking action. And I knew without a doubt that the reason the property had sold, land in Turks and Caicos, was because I said yes to Joe.
Wow.
I just want to say that I agree with you. It's been my experience that it operates in two ways, at least for me. One is either I'll have a thought and it'll just feel really natural and there won't really be a lot of, there won't be any struggle around it. Or if I'm fairly perplexed and I'm sitting in a really quiet space, it'll just sort of drop in and it'll feel really strange, like, what? and sometimes that's how I know, is because it just comes from, well, where did that come from? And it will seem very odd, but again, there won't usually be any struggle around it. So that's sort of
right.
How I know.
Do you have your hand up?
Going to the question, how do you know whether it's ego or divine. From my point of view, it almost seems that if you have an idea that compared to how you normally function or react, it doesn't fit, it probably is divine. Because you start questioning whether or not, well, gee, where did it come from? Then you go back into that whole mishmash of, right, well, what difference does it make? It's here, it'll work, I think it'll work, I'm going to do it. And you just do it. So it goes beyond trying to go through all of the delineations of where did it come from, how does it work, why is it here? It's there, it doesn't follow the usual pattern of how I function. So, my goodness, it must be divine.
I just want to add to what she said about there not being any struggle, because I was already registered and had tickets to be in California this weekend. And I said, oops, I need to go to this event. And I had never been to any events you did. I had just read your book. And but I had been asking the questions that you're answering. So it's when you just know that something's right, like when my son showed up when I was 42 years old not expecting it, you know, you just know, well, this is a gift somehow.
The voice of skepticism. I'm kidding. There would have to be one of us in the room. But I'm asking, coming from a background of, and I hope this doesn't offend anyone, coming from a background of being an ex-minister and now completely opposite, just so you know where I'm coming from.
Opposite part frightens me.
Yeah.
Completely opposite.
Well, the complete opposite meaning, yeah, I'm a deist, if anyone knows what that is. Okay, a deist. Yeah, we just believe in a prime mover and leave it at that. I saw a lot of the rabbit hole scenarios where you would have, and certainly no disintention for anyone in the room, but you would have somebody praying for somebody with complete, absolute, 100% faith that this would work. I mean, absolute, you know, divine interaction, faith, the whole nine yards. Because it says so. Uh-huh. You know, they have multiple sources. There's a book, you know. And, you know, the bottom line is, prayer works less than Vegas, so that's the stats. And what you would have is 20-30% of the prayers that worked and the others that did not, and they would go through the same rabbit hole of, well, that person didn't have enough faith. And this sounds very similar in that, well, this person didn't want that in their life. You're actually defining that as being reality. You don't know. You can't get in that person's mind. Yeah. And I don't know anyone on earth, and maybe I'm wrong here, that would want cancer, especially if you had it. So now I'm not saying there's not reasons why psychologically that we may have attracted things like that. I completely understand that. But how do you differentiate between going down this, what I call, you know, the rabbit hole with no end, that says, I'm going to consistently rationalize why something doesn't work when it doesn't, and when it does work, aha, there it is, it works, see? You know, and I'm not expecting, like we said last night, everything to always work. That's not where I'm going at all. But is there anything that you've addressed from people like me?
Yes. What's step five in the attractor factor? Let go. That means we do not have control. In fact, Dr. Len says, you can choose, but you do not decide. You can choose, but you do not decide. You can choose to heal somebody, but you do not decide if they get healed or not. You can choose to get the new car, but you do not decide if you get the new car or not. You can choose to win the lotto or fill in the blank or whatever it happens to be. You have to let go. If you don't let go, then we're still stuck in ego. Then it's our ego being, and really the image that comes to my mind, and this is probably hypnotic, is of a crying little kid who's a brat who's saying, I want it to go my way. I didn't get it. And whining about it. But that's not how the divine works. So this goes back to some of the stuff we talked about earlier, is that you have to totally trust. That's why it all comes back to saying, I love you, please forgive me, thank you, turning it all over. And step five is probably the one people don't get the most. In spiritual marketing, you read spiritual marketing, you had said, I rewrote that and made the fifth step even clearer, I thought, in the attractor factor, because I've wanted people to understand that letting go didn't mean first that you just sat there and did nothing. It meant that you take what I called in the book inspired action. So if you feel compelled, it just feels like there's something within you that says make the phone call or sign up for Joe's seminar or read a particular book, whatever it is, you honor that. And then the other part of it is, if things don't work the way you want them, you have to assume that it's still in your best interest that it's happening that way. There's a quote in The Attractor Factor, I think it's from Rumi, that says something to the effect of, some things that don't happen prevent disasters from happening. And that's a mind shift. I had to go through this process of thinking, okay, I'm learning the manifestation process. I want to teach myself how to have results. I want to teach other people how to get results. We all agreed earlier, we want results. But that's really a lot of ego, saying we want the world to be manipulated in the way we think it should be manipulated. We want to have total control. Well, we are a God. We do have a lot of power, but we are not the God. And this is the first to use the word God, but I'm talking about the divine, whatever that means for you, the life energy, the vital force, the spirit, the blank slate, the whiteboard, whatever it is you want to say, that's the Z state. That zone is where we want to come from. But you have to let go. Now, I still wrestle with when is a desire coming from ego and when is a desire coming from the divine. I mentioned earlier before we took a break that I was looking at the BMW Z4. I already got two BMWs. I'm not even driving both of them. The Z3 felt real lonely, and the battery went dead on it one day because I hadn't been driving a darn thing. And we live out in the country, you know, and I have Amazon coming and FedEx coming and UPS coming and the mail coming. I don't need to go anywhere, you know. And even coming here, we went in Narissa's car. We didn't even go in my car. So why would I want another car? So I was immediately attracted to the car. I saw the color. It was a blue, my favorite color. I saw the Z4. I liked the style and everything, and I started thinking about it. And I actually even looked online just to check the price. And then I started going, are you nuts? Where are you going to park it? Where are you going to do it? Narissa was looking for a new car before me. I don't need to get another one. And, of course, I have the car. I re-looked at my own book, The Attractor Factor, and there's a section in the updated book that talks about hungry ghosts. And that's when the monkeys of your mind start to drive you crazy, saying, well, it's real easy for you to get these things. Why don't you just go ahead and get it and just grab for it and grab for it? This did not feel like the feeling that came to me to hold the manifestation weekend. The feeling that came to me to hold the manifestation weekend was this descending inspiration that came from outside of me that I, Ego Joe, initially resisted. It's like, I'll wait for that to go away. I don't want to do a manifestation weekend. I don't know what that means. I don't know how to hold it. I don't want to promote it. I don't know what would take place. I'll wait for that to go away. It didn't go away. The Z4, I was realizing that's a hungry ghost. It feels like it's coming from ego. Don't need it. A part of me would feel like, yeah, I can want it, and then I would certainly enjoy it for a while. But then I started to realize that that doesn't have the same feeling at all as the manifestation. And it would be very temporary. I would enjoy the thrill of it, but then I'd start being upset because where am I going to park it and all these other things that I would have to deal with. So, pushing that aside. But there's really an awareness process that I've had to go through to be clear about when is it my ego and when is it the divine. I think that it's pretty clear cut once you become aware of it the first time. Because the divine does seem to have these elements that you're talking about, especially the letting go, especially it seems to come out of character. It seems that the manifestation weekend, I've never done manifestation weekend before. So all of these are things to be aware of, but letting go, I think, is the big one that ties into what you were talking about.
I'm just speaking to what you're saying, that the other thing that really comes to me about it is that there really isn't a separation in my mind around the divine and the ego. It's the problem is the thought that there is. And when you release the thought that there is, you're sort of just in it. And then when you want things, when they feel like they come from joy and love and just that, because to me, you know, if you can reach joy, you've done pretty well. So it isn't really all about healing. It's about actually just being willing to have joy.
Yeah.
So when you just want to have something for that reason, because you feel good, you actually feel good, then that's when it all makes sense. And then noticing that a lot of times we want things, it's what's the motivation. So when we want things because our perception is that we'll get more love and approval that way, which typically we go down into that place, then that has a different edge to it. And that's the only difference, is it's not so much the divine or the ego to me, it's are you in love or fear? And you have to go pretty deep sometimes to feel the difference.
Yeah, great observation.
Yeah, I read something recently, I don't remember where it was, that talked about it's not the thing you want, it's the feeling it gives you.
I wrote that.
You wrote that,
yeah.
Okay. I read that recently.
A little credit. My ego would like a little credit.
I told you I forgot. Joe wrote this brilliant thing.
Thank you. I feel better.
No, actually, I just remembered it's somewhere else, but that's okay.
Uh-oh.
Debbie Ford, the best year of your life.
I love Debbie's work.
And she has a whole section on that. And what I liked the best about it was the practical aspect of, okay, someday I want this, I want this, I want this. What is the feeling that I'm seeking, and what are the things I can do right now to give me that feeling? That's another thing that I've been using to let go of, whether it's even trying to judge whether it's ego or divine.
Well, in the attractor factor, I do talk about what you want isn't the thing. What you want is the feeling you believe that thing brings you. But we want to go beyond all of that. We want to go beyond the attractor factor. We want to go beyond manifestation. This is even beyond advanced manifestation in this whole thing. We want to go to source. So in other words, we're not even dealing with the feeling that you think you want. We want to go to the feeling that's behind that, which is source, which I'm calling the divine. You can call whatever word feels right to you, but it's behind all of that. And even putting a word on it is once removed from it, because we just put a label on it. We want to go to source, because when we are one with source, we are inspired. The things that seem to be the things that are right for us is coming from a different place altogether. I totally agree with what you're talking about. I write about it in my own book, The Attractor Factor. And I love Debbie Ford is well worth reading. I love all of Debbie Ford's work. She deals with the shadow part of your body, of your mind. So in other words, she looks out, much like I've talked about with the mirror technique, she looks out and says that everything out here is a representation of the shadow side of your own mind. It's the part of you, it's in the shadows, it's the part of you don't usually look at. And one of her books is The Dark Side of the Light Chasers. One of the recent ones is The Best Year of Your Life. She has one on spiritual divorce, I think. Is there a spiritual parenting one? I don't know about that, but check her out. Debbie Ford is well worth reading, listening to her stuff. Absolutely love her material. And again, what we want to do is take this even deeper than where you've been taking things before. Because at that level of source, yes, you become, the title of this book says, you are God, get over it. You are God, get over it. Well, I'm glad you like it because I have a copy of this book for everybody. Even if you don't read it, the title of it alone, You Are God, Get Over It. Amy, You Are God, Get Over It. But you were looking in the mirror when you said it. Yes. Yeah. You are God, you are responsible for everything. Yes. You are God, you are responsible for everything, yes.
Letting go of, say, for example, I want to start a new life and really get out of debt and all those kinds of things, I never envisioned that would be being in a divorce scenario. But, okay, you know, I'm willing to let go and move forward. So then how do you move to that next, to move beyond intention, to move to just the whiteboard?
Yeah, that's great. Before I say anything, does anybody want to address that?
I've been practicing this a little bit. I learned about it from a different source, and it's slightly different twist, but it's really new to me. Just the past couple of weeks I've been practicing it, and I find, like, this is my full-time job now, is really just being in this process of consistently recognizing my creation and really appreciating how awesome and powerful I have been to create things that feel so real, that, you know, create this pain and really feel terrible or whatever. And even my kids are noticing, I mentioned this to someone else, they're like, well, aren't you mad about this? Or what's wrong with you, Mom? Because I just have this sense of not being, like, just in it, not being all wrapped up in this feeling or this, whatever it was, anger, frustration, control. And I'm just so thrilled to learn more of this. It's exactly what I've been asking for.
Actually, it's just a repeat of what she said, is that just keep observing what's there and saying, thank you, forgive me, I'm sorry, I love you. Eventually, that'll completely go out of your life, and a new vision and a new life will show up if you just keep releasing that and saying, I created this. There was a quote, I'm not very good at quotes, but Joe put it on something, and it was from a website, and it was about how when you start clearing and you're this big spiritual being and you change this existence, but a little bit of the old is going to linger,
And you have to just keep saying, thank you, forgive me, I'm sorry, I love you, to the old until the new shows up.
Okay.
I'm going to take it a little bit of a different direction.
Okay.
This week I listened to John, is it Asheroff?
Yes.
Change your brain, change your bottom line.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Fascinating. And so he talks a lot about the chemicals that go on in our brain,
mm-hmm.
and how there's some areas that we limit ourselves because of our chemicals in our brain. So how would this shift, change, enhance that process that's going on?
That's great. I love John. We know him. He is still working on that level, which don't let this sound like I'm dismissing it. He's still working on that level of reality that we want to go beyond.
This concludes Disc 1. Now please insert Disc 2.